Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. It's going to be kind of a launching point tonight because I have several passages of Scripture that we're going to look at. And we are living in very interesting times, are we not? And the Lord just impressed upon my heart to look to God's Word tonight about spiritual horse sense. Now, I know that we don't usually put those two ideas together, but I think it's important that we do. I grew up here in the South, as you all know, and my maternal grandmother was from rural Alabama. That's where she came from, and she had some of the funniest home expressions we grew up with. But whenever someone did something dumb or did something stupid, she said, "They just don't have any horse sense." And we grew up hearing that all the time. And that expression kind of sums up what's lacking today. We don't have a lot of horse sense anymore. You look at the political realm this year. It is just chaotic at best. And we don't make decisions. We don't say words with principles behind them anymore. Where we stick to our principles and we say what's right, what we believe in all the time. Today, it's always, well, I've got to change that to make it fit what the culture expects. Now, if they're going to do that now, what's it going to be like when they're president? Have you ever thought about that? If they're changing their mind all the time now, what's it going to be like when they're president? We've got to pray that the Lord will undertake for our country, because I'm not that impressed, to be honest with you. And, you know, where are the statesmen? Where are the principled individuals that will stand up and say what needs to be said, but then not run back out to the microphone an hour and a half later and said, what I really meant to say was, well, say what you mean, you know? And what I call that is just lacking good old-fashioned horse sense. You know, that expression came out of Victoria, Britain. It was used, and wordsmiths tell us that the expression has less to do with the horse and more with the person that was involved with either training the horse or purchasing a horse. I found this interesting. The ability to be able to look at a horse and tell whether it's something that you want to buy or something you want to leave alone. Someone, as you've heard the expression, never looked a gift horse in the mouth. Where did that come from? Well, that came from the same time period, because you can tell a lot about a horse by looking at its teeth. All right? You'll know about how old the horse is and if it's on its last legs or if it's ready to go to the glue factory. You can learn a lot by looking at a horse's mouth. Now, the expression, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Somebody gives it to you and don't look at it. Just take it and hand it on down to the glue factory, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, good old-fashioned horse sense. I remember reading not too long ago about Henry Ford, who had hired the electrical genius Charlie Steinmetz. You probably never heard of him before. I didn't. But Charlie Steinmetz was the one that built all of the generators in the Ford factory that powered all of the assembly lines. And they had a complete shutdown, and the Ford electricians could not figure out what the problem was. So he calls up on the phone. Charlie Steinmetz says, "You need to get down here. We're in a plant shutdown right now. We cannot figure out what's wrong with the generators." So Charlie made his way by train, came into the Ford station, and went inside there, and was only there for an hour and had everything running again. And so he went to Mr. Ford's office. He knocked on the door and he said, "Mr. Ford, everything's working back again." He said, "That's wonderful. Give me a bill." It was a bill for $10,000. Now, if you know anything about Henry Ford, he was tight-fisted. He was tighter than bark on a tree. Right? His coins only had one side on it because he'd rubbed the other one off. But he was very tight, and he said, "You only worked an hour, and you're charging me $10,000. And this is what Charlie Steinmetz said: "For tinkering with generators, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990. All right? Now, doesn't that make the difference? You know, these new fashion cars, they've got computers galore, you know? And my son Jonathan's 1991 Park Avenue, the light stopped working on it. So he called my brother and said, would you be interested in taking a look and trying to figure out what's wrong with my light? So my brother calls John Gamble and said, can you come and help me and see if we can. It took them 4 days of just tearing it all apart. And they looked at every possibility, every sensor, everything like that, and it was a bad wire. So they had to run brand new wires from the switch all the way to each headlight, and all. It was just a big, big thing. Now, you think about that. Now, knowing where to tinker is, you know, it makes everything. You can spend weeks doing something, or you can know what to do. And you know, they were doing it to help up my son. He didn't know where the problem was. I didn't know where the problem was. And it took a while to track it down. But Charlie Steinmetz, he knew what to do. He went straight to it, fixed it, got it going, and then delivered the bill. Now, he had what we would call horse sense. He knew what was what with those generators. He had built them. He knew what was going on with them. Now, who is the builder of souls? God is. He's the builder of souls. He builds souls through His Word with submitted individuals that learn, that are willing to learn from His Word. Boy, it's so important for us to understand how horse sense comes about. It comes about through the experience of life. I learned early on that you don't put your hand on a hot stove. Now, I learned that by sticking my hand on a hot stove. All right? Now, after that point, I was on my own. Right? If I kept doing it, kept burning my fingers, then, you know, there's no hope for Todd. We'll send him off to the home or something like that. But, you know, you learn quick. You learn quick by some of those things. One of the men on staff had a big burn thing on his arm, and I said, what happened? Oh, I reached up underneath there and was trying to work on the car. I said, was it hot? Yeah. Next time, why don't you wait till it cools off and then work on it? Then you won't get scalded like that. You know, it's just a matter of time before I have burned myself so many times. And I said, why didn't I think that thing was cooled off before I stuck my hand down in there and got it burnt? You know, life is full of experiences. And when you learn from those experiences, you accrue over time what we call what? Horse sense. Do you realize that the same thing is true in the spiritual life, in the spiritual realm? You know, the Bible is so practical. God has made things in such a way that we can learn from the experiences of life, the spiritual battles that we fight. You know, I've had to learn some lessons in the school of hard knocks. Sometimes that's the only way you can learn them with a permanent value in mind. Sometimes being told isn't enough. You've got to go through it and get kicked around a little bit and stepped on. And then you realize, you know what? What they were saying was right. I think I will do that from now on, so I can avoid all the pain and the anguish. You're learning spiritual horse sense. You're learning from the experiences of life. Now, I want to walk through several passages of Scripture tonight because the Bible has given us so much to help us along the way of the Christian life. And so many times we are what Wayne Turner calls numb or nummy. That's he liked to use that term a lot. I don't know why he used it with me so much. I don't know. He said, you nummy or numb. You know, you're not paying attention. You're not getting this, all right? And many of us are like that. You know, sometimes we just got to get knocked around and kicked a little bit. And then, okay, yeah, I've got it now. He told a story about a horse that they had growing up, his father had, named Chum. And he said, Chum was a big, big, huge plow horse. But Chum was a nummy, just as numb as he could be. He would hold back in the trace. Everybody know what that means? I have to be careful here. And somebody, what's that? You know, it was horse and buggy days. And he would hold back and he'd let the other horse plow, do all the work, and he would just coast along. You know, he's going down plowing through the field or whatever. Well, Wayne's father had enough of it. That horse was supposed to be pulling like he was doing. And so he went up to that horse. He took a 2x4 and smacked it right across the nose. Said that horse went right down to the ground, came back up, and was plowing. He said it was out plowing his horse that they had after that point. That horse learned from that experience. Every time he saw Wayne's father, Glenn, come walking up, that horse perked up. Looking. He only did it one time. But never again did that horse fall back in the trace and just coast along while the other horse did the work. That horse went to work. What did he learn? Now that's what we call horse sense. You know, sometimes God has to do that with us. Oh, not God. Why, He's a loving God. He would never do that. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. What's He doing? Why does God chasten? By the way, that's mentioned in the book of Proverbs, and it's mentioned again in the New Testament. All right? Why does God chasten His children? Because He wants them to learn. He wants them to have spiritual horse sense. He wants us to grow up and be mature. Let's look at some verses of Scripture here. Proverbs 2, verses 6 through 7. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now notice verse 7 here. He layeth up sound wisdom for whom? The righteous. He is a buckler to them that what? Walk uprightly. Again, related to righteousness. Walk rightly. What has God promised? Lay up. That's an old-fashioned word. We don't use that a whole lot, but it means to put in store. To put in store something. My mom and dad have always had a utility room that was loaded with shelves with all kinds of food on it. Mostly canned food. I remember when we were younger and built those shelves, helped Dad put those in there, and we would go in there and say, go get a jar of beans, go get a jar of tomatoes, go get a jar of this, that, or the other. It was a pantry that was loaded with food that Mom had canned from our gardening. And, there was a store there that took us through the wintertime. We had fresh green beans. We had black-eyed peas that were in abundance. It seemed like the Lord always gave us a bumper crop of black-eyed peas, and the green beans were always gone quicker than everything else. You know, that's amazing. And the last thing to go was always what? Remember, lima beans. Those were the last ones. We were pulling those out February, March, praying for the garden to come in early this year. Maybe March, Lord. Well, you know it's not going to come in March, but Lord, we need green beans. You know, we were praying for the Lord to provide, but we had that. That's how it went. Green beans went first. Black-eyed peas went out next, and then it was the lima beans. All right, and then we had the new crop come in, and we had, you know, all that good food. There was a store that we walked into to enjoy the fruits of the labors that we had had the previous year. Do you know what God does for the righteous? The Bible says that He puts up wisdom in store for them. So the righteous can go into the storehouse and get whatever they need. They can go get whatever wisdom that they need for whatever situation. That's the promise that God's given. But you have to be what? In order to go into that storehouse, you've got to be a righteous individual. You've got to be right with God. You've got to be His child. You know what? Horse sense tells me, you know what? I don't do very well on my own. I need God's wisdom. So what do I need to do? I need to honor the Lord with my life. I need to do what's right. And then I have access to the storehouse. I can get whatever I need supplied to me. Isn't it a blessing? We have a little running joke about our local hardware store. They have everything you need, but only one of them. All right? I've been in there so many times where I needed two or three of something, and they had one of each. Now, they've gotten better through the years because I went and paid a visit to the owner. And I told him, I said, you know, it's very frustrating. I know you want our business, but when we come in here to buy, we don't come in here to buy one elbow. We don't come in here to buy one stick of pipe. We usually come in here and buy a whole bunch of stuff. It sure would be nice if we could have a whole tray or a whole box of those kind of things. He said, well, you know, it's expensive to have inventory. I said, you lose customers when you don't have inventory. You know, if we don't have inventory out there at the concession stand, we can put post signs all over the place. Fries, chili fries, cheese fries. But if we don't have any fries, we don't have any chili fries, and we don't have any cheese fries. You gotta have. I see them smiling back there in the back. They run a restaurant. You gotta have inventory, right? You gotta have what you need. If we're gonna have a bookstore, we gotta have inventory so people can go up and buy what they need. If you're going to sell something, you gotta have inventory to do that. God has supplied the inventory. Our problem is we don't go in there and get what we need. What are we lacking? Horse sense. We're lacking horse sense. Proverbs 28, 26. Flip over to the back of the book. Proverbs 28, 26. Another nugget, gem from the Bible. Verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a what? A fool. Now, you talk about being given a nugget of truth from God's Word. There's one right there. He that trusteth his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Delivered from what? Delivered from the way of the fool. The fool always has his own way. And it always leads to destruction, the Bible tells us. So he'll be delivered, the one who acts wisely. A nugget of truth. In other words, somebody that's got spiritual horse sense. They're not going to travel down this road. This road leads to trouble and problems and difficulties and all kinds of... I'm not going down that road. I know where it's going to take me. Let's go to another verse of Scripture. Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Using our horse analogy here, let me take you to a familiar verse of Scripture. I use this in chapel from time to time in our chapel services. Verse 9. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule. Alright? God takes a horse and takes a mule and says, don't be like them. Why? They don't have any understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Lest you get trampled by them. Lest you get hurt by them. When I was a child, we would go up to Ohio, and my uncle, Ronnie, had a huge, huge donkey, right? It was a mule, all right? Huge mule. I mean, it was tall. And he said, y'all want to ride the mule? Oh, well, yeah, we wanted to ride the mule. So he threw us up on top of the mule. And we were fooling around on top of the mule, just walking around out in the pasture and so forth. And I was turned around, I believe, on the back of the mule facing the wrong way. I was just, because he was walking really slow. And all of a sudden, they hollered out, Todd, duck! So I ducked down. That mule had headed right into the barn. If I hadn't ducked down, I'd gotten my head wrapped, knocked right off the top of that mule. And so I ducked down, and I went in that mule, walked right over to its stall, and stopped. And there I was sitting in there on top of that mule. So I tried to get him out. You know how successful I was? He was done. He was done for the day. There was no more rides. There was no more, you know, I'm going to take you back out and have a little fun with you, kid. No, that wasn't going to happen. He was done. So I slid off the back of that mule, and I went back out, and I said, Uncle Ronnie, I can't get him out. He said, he's finished. He's done. He's not going to ride anymore. He's a mule. Now, I learned a lesson that day. Mules can be stubborn. Don't be like the horse and the mule, the Bible says. Simple, straightforward statement from the Word of God. They have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Cause you injury, cause you harm. Because they have to be brought under the submission of a human being in order to be beneficial to a human being, in order to be helpful. A horse running out in the pasture is not beneficial to anybody. I watched a program this afternoon on the American History Channel, and they were talking about the cowboys of the Old West days and how they used to break horses. And, some of them were very gifted at that. They were talking about one particular cowboy that was very good at breaking horses, and he just didn't get thrown off. He just had a sense about him when he was breaking that horse, and then sooner or later, that horse would cooperate and do what he was supposed to do. Today they've got all these neat things. They have these tanks that they take horses into now, water tanks. And they put riders on them down in the tank, and it's hard to buck off a rider down in a water tank, isn't it? And that's how they train them. They teach them they ought not to be kicking and bucking, and once they hold a rider down in the water, then they'll take them out. And they're much more apt to do what they're supposed to do. Why? Because they're of no benefit until they're brought under the control and will of the rider. You're of no benefit to God until you're brought under His command. Don't be like the horse and the mule. Submit yourself to God. That's the picture that's given to us here. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. I told you we're going to look at some passages and we're going to get into the kind of message here. I'm just sharing these with you because I want you to see where I'm going with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the great what chapter? The love chapter. What does he say? In the great love chapter, what does the Lord have to say? Verse 11. When I was a child, nepios, that means an infant, be it baby, toddler, I spake as a nepios, as a child. I understood as a child. In other words, my worldview was that of a child. I thought as a child. In other words, my reasoning was like a child. But, conjunction of contrast, when I became a man, an heir is the Greek word there, and that means an adult male. An adult male. A man who has come into his own. When I became an adult male, I put away what? Nepios things. Child's things. I put those away. I've mentioned this several times before, but you know, it seems like we live in the age of perpetual adolescence. Well, people just can't grow up. They can't take up responsibilities. They can't do what they're supposed to do. They're always on the edge of falling off a cliff, or they've got this problem or that problem because they've never taken things seriously in this world. Paul said, when I was a child, that's the way I lived. I was a child, but when I became a man, an heir, a full-grown adult male, I put away. Now notice that. It didn't fall away. What did he do? He put it away. That's different. Some people said, oh, they'll grow out of it. I've known some people through the years that never grew out of it. They never came to the place where they put away what? When they don't put away childish things, they don't have good horse sense. That's my point. And then finally, a passage that Mr. Opega read this morning, it just hit me as he read that. John chapter 9, this is our last verse that we'll look at. John chapter 9, a reference is made here to the blind man who was healed. And I want you to see what his parents had to say about him. Notice this. Skip down to verse 20 of chapter 9. His parents answered them and said, we know this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. But then notice what they say. Well, this is rich. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. I looked up that word this afternoon, and boy, is it a powerful word. It is a Greek word. Helikon is the Greek word. Helikon. And it means to be able to carry oneself without assistance. Full age. Having years of discretion. Mature. In other words, he had what? Horse sense. He's old enough. He's reached the age of accountability. You talk to him. Yes, he's our son. Yes, he was born blind. But what's happened to him? I don't know. You speak to him. He's of age. He's mature. He can communicate. And that's exactly what he did. He communicated what had happened to him. Now, did they believe him? No. Sadly, they did not, because they didn't want to give credence to whom? Jesus Christ. But the man himself was a man that had grown up. He was mature. He could communicate for himself. Now, having said all of those things, I want to share with you some thoughts about what's happening in our world today. Religion today, our churches, have become nothing more than touchy-feely gobbledygook centers. I'm going to say that again. Religion today and many of our churches have become nothing more than touchy-feely gobbledygook centers. Now, what do I mean by that? It means where we don't think spiritually, we don't think biblically, we think with our emotions. That's a problem. That speaks not of spiritual maturity, but spiritual immaturity. We don't have good horse sense. You know, it seems like in my dealings with people, in my dealings with situations that arise, and they're quite numerous, being in a Christian school, being involved with the community and the youth athletic club, there's situations that have to be dealt with almost every day. And I have found over the years that my main job is to drain the emotion. Dr. Hobbs warned me of this and taught me this. You have to drain the emotion out of the situation if you're going to deal with the problem. All right? You got to drain the emotion out of it. Your child will benefit if you make a positive out of this. If you put a positive on the situation, the child will put a positive situation. You know how many things get soured for children because parents sour that for them? Oh, that's not going to work. Oh, okay, you've just told your kids that's not going to work. How are they going to respond? That's not going to work. How about, hey, let's put our best effort into this. This may be a little more difficult than we anticipated. Putting together a lawnmower. All right, you buy a lawnmower, it comes in a box. And you bring it in and it's like, oh, the lawnmower's not put together. We're going to have to put it together. This is impossible to do. And so the child, that's impossible to do. See you, Dad. No. What do you do? Hey, we get the directions out of it. Everybody's going to help. We're going to put this thing together. We're going to solve this together. You can have a sourpuss face with lemon lips from the lemon, or you can take the lemon and you can make lemon juice out of it and enjoy it. That's the difference. That's where horse sense comes in. Now, let's go on. There are, I'm sure, horses that have more sense than a lot of preachers that we have today who try to teach people how to live in this world in some way other than what the Bible says. Do you know that happens far too often? I listen to messages. I go online. I'll click on the church randomly. I want to hear what's going on in a lot of churches across America. I think it's important for me as a pastor to listen in on what people are doing in their churches. And I'm going to tell you something. It's disappointing sometimes. They're teaching out of books instead of the Bible. One church I listened to had a book called The Vine and the Trellis. And they were teaching a whole series out of The Vine. It came straight out of New Calvinist teaching. And they were teaching that to their people. Instead of the message that I listened to, there was only one reference to the Bible the whole time. They were quoting men as they were reading in the book. I want to tell you something, folks. You will not grow if you're just listening to words from Todd Brainerd. You will not grow. But if you listen to God's words and you're a child of God, you'll grow. You'll grow. You'll take a hold of it and say, I'm going to grow with this. But the unspiritual individual, the person that's not following, not reading the Word of God, the person that's careless in listening at church, the person who is just trying to wing it in the Christian life, you will have nothing but trouble. You'll have nothing but difficulty. Man's heart has been the same throughout time. Nothing's changed. The writer of Ecclesiastes said, there is nothing new under the sun. The human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17:9. In addition, God has given many commands and warnings against life apart from His will and way. Think about Daniel. Daniel was being told by those around him, you can't pray anymore to your God. You're going to get arrested. You can't pray. What did he do? He went back to his room. He opened the windows like he always did. He's praying toward Jerusalem. He opened the windows and he prayed to his God. Oh, Daniel, don't you understand? Wait, no, he had horse sense. This is what Daniel said in his heart. I'm going to stand with God if nobody else does. And it's safer for me to stand with God. And it was proven that it was safer for him to stand with God. It's always safer to stand with God. He stood with God, and when they tossed him down into the hole in the ground where the lions were, he slept all night long, and he probably pillowed his head on one of the lions. And the king came by the next morning, and he pulled open the hatch. Looked down there, Daniel, are you still alive? I'm here. And said, get a rope! Get him out of there. And what did they do? They took all the false astrologers and all those that had come up with that law and threw them down there, and the lions that went hungry that night, they had plenty to eat. Because you see, folks, this is the lesson of the Bible. The safest place for you to ever be is standing with the Lord. That's what we call spiritual horse sense. To know that to be true and to practice it in your Christian life. Now the texts above that we read from, that we just shared with you, have little tidbits of truth that I just want to walk through very quickly. Number one, in the first text that we looked at in Proverbs chapter 2, God is the giver of wisdom, discernment. He's the giver of that, and He lays it up. He puts it in store for the righteous. The second passage, we learn that only a fool trusts his what? His heart. In the third passage, we learn we are not to be as horses and mules who are controlled by bit and bridle. There is to be an internal self-control and acknowledgement of God's will and way and the wisdom that He gives in order to walk in that will and way. We're not to have a bit and a bridle on us. The Lord can just say, go, and we go. Aunt Carolyn, I'll use an illustration. I got two from you tonight. Thank you very much. I'll thank you in advance. I remember one time when she spoke in a high school chapel, I believe it was, back in the early 80s. And she told about her days in Kansas and talked about the different bridles that her father had for different types of horses. And I got my eyes open that day about the different bridles. One type of bridle are for rambunctious sorts. It was a bridle that on the bar, it had a prong fork. And when the rider was on there and the horse got rambunctious and started taking off running, you pull back on that and those points went right down in the tongue. And that horse would just start putting on brakes. And she gave the name of the horse that her father had used that on to get him settled down. Then there was another type. When they graduated from that one, they went to the next bar, bridle, bit. And it was smooth on the edges where it sat there on the gums, but then it bent inward slightly. So it would act like a pressure point on the tongue when you pulled back on it. So if the horse was trying to have its own lead and it wasn't time for that, pull back on that, put pressure on the tongue, didn't hurt. But it put pressure on and it signaled to the horse what? Master wants to slow down and wants to turn, wants to do something else. Those were for the intermediate horses. And then there were the horses that had the straight bit. You remember sharing that? The straight bit. Just a smooth bar. It was horses that all you had to do was nudge with your knee. They didn't need the reins, really. They knew exactly what you wanted to do. All you had to do was tug a little bit to the left or tug a little bit to the right. Punch them a little bit in the ribs. I knew to take off and go. They were under complete control of the rider. That's the picture. God shouldn't have to pull out the barbed bit or the pressure bit on His children. He has to do that sometimes. What He would much prefer is for Him to be able to control your life and just tug on the reins. Tug on the reins. What do we call that? Spiritual horse sense. Let's move on. We looked at the next passage in 1 Corinthians 13. Horse sense means not remaining a child, but putting away, actively putting away childish things, my responsibility. They don't just naturally fall away. They have to be put away. You have to put your toys away. Yeah, you know, it's been a long time since I think Mom and Dad still have the old gun cup when I was a kid. They had a plastic gun cup. It was a pistol, Colt 45 pistol with a cup on it. And we fought over. We had two of them. And there's three kids there. We had to take turns or whatever. Finally, she put a T and an R on there so we could have our own gun cup. And you held the cup with the gun handle. And you drink. Boy, we thought that. I haven't asked my mom to use the gun cup in over 35, 40 years. Mom, are you disappointed that I haven't asked for the gun cup? No. As a matter of fact, if I went over to their house and said, you know what, I think I'm going to use the gun cup. Do you still have it? Okay. Yeah, now that gun cup's got to be 50-something years old now. But you know what? I'm past gun cups. I got past that. Now I use a coffee mug. All right? And I use a glass. Now, when we were kids, we weren't allowed to use glass. We didn't know what glass was until we were almost seniors in high school. Because Mom knew what was going to happen. They were going to get dropped, broken, and she didn't want that to happen to her stuff. So we use Rubbermaid plastic. All right? And there were so many times where that would get dropped on the ground, ice would go everywhere, drinks, and I'm sure glad that was a plastic cup. Sure glad that was the case, and I go get a mop and clean it up. You know, when you're teenagers, you're just not that coordinated. And so there was no glass during those years. But then when we got older, we graduated to glass. And we graduated to coffee mugs. We got away from the plastic, you know. Now, that's what we have to do spiritually. We've got to put away childishness. Who does God give that responsibility to? That preacher, no. He gives it to each and every one of us. We probably need to develop some type of a spiritual child-o-meter to see where we are. See where that needle points. I'm afraid, in some cases, the maturity level that we should be at. Listen, if you're the same as a Christian now as you were 5 years ago, something's wrong. You ought to have grown up during that time. Amen? Aren't we to grow up? If we're still doing the same things and making the same mistakes, we're not learning at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And then finally here, number five, horse sense means being able to carry yourself as a spiritual adult. I thank God for men in this church that I can go to and I can sit down with and talk to them about things. I'm thankful for that. I've had that luxury for a long time. As a young pastor, having a pastor that took me under his wing and taught me what it means to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and what it means that you're not going to have a lot of friends. Not going to be a lot of people patting you on the back saying, great job. You're just going to have to stand up and count the cost for the Lord Jesus Christ. I had that kind of mentor. I thank God for that. You have those kind of mentors in this church. Now let me ask you something. Do you avail yourself of that? You know, Titus chapter 2 has a great deal to say about that, how the church is supposed to operate. The elders are to teach the youngers. But you know what so much the problem is in our churches today? The young people want nothing to do with the elders. They want nothing to do with the elders. And we are watching, this is across the board. This is across the board. Dealing with teenagers and dealing with them in the world and so forth and camp kids and so forth like that. We deal with this all the time. They just want nothing to do. They just want to do their own thing. Nobody's going to tell me no. Let me tell you something. Horse sense means being able to carry yourself as an adult. This is what Adam Clark had to say about Ecclesiastes 10:15. And this is another illustration from Aunt Carolyn, and I'll close. She had a series that she did back in chapel days called How to Go to the City. how to go to the city. And I still have my Bible from those days with my notes in it that I took from Aunt Carolyn talking to us young people. She'd come in and speak to the ladies sometimes, the girls, and then he'd come in and speak to the boys sometimes about how to go to the city. Ecclesiastes 10:15 says, "The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them." Now listen, I want to listen to this again now. "The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because he knoweth not how to go to the city." This is what Adam Clark wrote. "I suppose this to be a proverb. In other words, the fool knows nothing. He does not know his way to the next village. He may labor, but for want of judgment, or we could say horse sense, he wearies himself and everyone else around him to no purpose." Now that was written back in the 19th century by Adam Clark as he commentated on that particular city. He doesn't know how to go up to the city. Listen, we want to be in Milton a testimony to the people of our community here as people that have horse sense. Not that just follow everything that the world's doing, but rather are people of the book. People that know how to go to the city. Why? Because they've got spiritual horse sense. May God help us. I've just taken various verses of Scripture, but you know what? There's no excuse for a Christian not to have horse sense. No excuse. None whatsoever. Why? The illustration, the storehouse is full of wisdom for the righteous. Maybe the reason you can't access wisdom is maybe you're not righteous. Because God says He layeth up wisdom for the righteous. He puts it in store for them. So they have it when they what? They need it. Horse sense says, "I need it. I need it." May God give us spiritual horse sense. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, it's so practical. It's not pie in the sky. It's not some doctrinal understanding that we can't grasp. It's just everyday walking with Thee, walking in Your Word, and listening and obeying. It's so simple. Just listening and obeying Your Word. The problem is we complicate things. Rather than following the simplicity of Your Word, we complicate it with the world. We complicate it with our own opinion. We complicate it with all kinds of other things. Lord, I pray that You deliver us from ourselves and that You might deliver us unto Yourself, that we might take advantage of the unbelievable storehouse of wisdom, understanding, discernment that You provide to Your children who have the horse sense to go to it and grab it when it's needed. Lord, I pray that You'd work in our hearts and lives, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.